Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT Crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in their DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll type forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe that. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. SRT Crew is back at you in the penthouse. Shout out to all the tenants. We are back in the penthouse, man, doing our thing each and every Wednesday from 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And if you want to give us a call, 404-603-8770. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And, of course, I got my esteemed crew members with me. They're both from Memphis, Tennessee, where they say the best. Somebody challenged me on the barbecue thing. I just want y'all to know that, too.
Yeah.
Somebody challenged me on that barbecue thing and said St. Louis is the
junk.
I'm just saying. So the voice you're hearing is my main man, Hancock. What up, man?
What up, big homie?
Everything good?
Everything good.
St. Louis ain't got nothing on Memphis barbecue?
No, man, nothing. But they both on the river, so it's showboats. No, Memphis got that, baby.
Memphis got it.
Yes, sir. What's up, crew?
What up? And, of course, I got my main man. This six man is back in the building. Jay Smooth. What up, Smooth?
What's up, man? Glad to be back.
There you go, man. We appreciate it, bro. You looking fresh?
Oh, try to, man.
You're looking fresh, revived and everything. Sound like, look like you're ready to talk about some Kawhi Leonard and all that there.
Yeah. This story is taking a surprising turn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look like you're going to be wearing my high school colors, seemingly.
Yeah.
But, and of course, my main man, behind the glass, G Money.
Yo.
They choked up back there. Yeah.
Oh, I was muted. That's all.
Oh, okay. All right. Still sign language or something.
Like what?
Hey, we already in the building starting it up, man. We got a great show for you. Looking for my main man, D Will, to call in and tell us about some spring football around. Between 742, 745, 750, somewhere around now. But he's around whenever he gets his t-shirt shipping, whenever he gets time from shipping all them t-shirts. But whatever, the Real Talk Tees, and of course you can check out the ad into the show. We got a great show for you. Got some hot news coming up. We got a buy and sell. Are you buying it or are you selling it? We got a buy and sell segment coming up. G-Money said, I just threw something at him. G-Money said, yeah, I got you, bro. Coldest engineer in the business. You hear what I say?
Yeah, it's verified.
Verified.
Yeah.
Just like them shrimp.
There you go.
Also, we got some other news. We got to talk about G-Day and GT-Day. And spring football has been interesting, to say the least. Pretty sure you're gonna start hearing rumors. I can't wait to Ray start a log on to Facebook so we can talk about his Bulldogs on G Day. And we got our roundtable discussion coming up in the second hour of the show. And we got this new segment. We should have started last week, but we got something off our chest. But this week, you can't handle the truth. I wonder what that's going to be about. Yes. So make sure you stay tuned for that around 8:45. But right now we got some hot news coming up. So y'all hang with us, G. Let's go ahead and get into this hot news.
Blazing. Hot. Scorching.
He's on fire.
red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Bust it. Hot News sponsored by our good old friends over at the Big Easy Grill. You're looking for the best seafood, New Orleans food, seafood in town, please go over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road. The best shrimp in town, and it's verified. Of course, they got the best po' boy. And I could possibly put their chicken and shrimp pasta up against anybody else as well. So go over to the Big Easy Grill. Any meals, $25 or more, you get a and mention SRT, you get a 10% discount. So make sure you go over to Big Easy Grill. All right, the first news, and everybody kind of freaked out when this came out. And you know, actually, I had one of our tenants call me yesterday just to verify this information. But Julio deletes his Falcons picks from his Twitter account. And that's all it took. And ESPN is all on ESPN. And things of that nature. You know, are we making too much of this?
I would think so. I mean, social media and the internet is undefeated. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. I mean, we live in a social media age, and with that comes good and bad. So anything that you do out there can be, you know, viewed as something, you know, whether it's small or not. I guess the only person that really knows if this is, you know, if there's some smoke or some fire to this smoke, it's Julio.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it and see that he deleted not only Falcons pictures, then he unfollowed all his teammates. You know, so, you know, I mean, what does that mean? You know, we really don't know. He says because he's doing a fresh start with social media or whatever. So, you know, I even heard somebody take a step, you know, on the Four Letter Network talking about, well, he's working out with T.O. now. So, you know, guilt by association. But,
wow.
I mean, so is, you know, is T.O. getting in his head? You know, contract time coming up. Is he sending a message to the Falcons? And, you know, if he is, you know, it could have been that way. Who knows? He might be sending a little subliminal message to the Falcons, you know, whatever. But I don't see working out with a guy who ranks eighth in receptions in NFL history, second in receiving yards, third in touchdowns, and holds NFL record for single game receptions with 20, and still could probably play for some of these teams
yeah.
at an advanced age. And you look at how he's built and how he's kept himself in shape. If right. I'm Julio, I'm trying to find out where the founder of youth is too.
Absolutely.
You know, he's similar build. Why not work out with somebody like T.O. and find out what his secrets are? So I don't think him working out with T.O. had anything to do with, you know, putting in his head. I just think that's a great move. Find somebody who still looks like they could play right now. So, you know, I don't think that had anything to do with it. So, again, social media is undefeated. We live in a social media age, so we have to take it for what it is. If Julio's a quiet guy, so I'm sure when he does state a case or say something, we'll know where he's coming from.
Yeah, I agree. Another story, obviously the draft is tomorrow, and shout out to Ray Ray. We're going to get to you, Georgia Bulldogs, here in a second. The draft is tomorrow, Smooth. Everybody's anticipating, you know, things with teams and things of that nature. The question is, what teams do you think will make some noise tomorrow?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily about a few teams.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's mostly about one team, and that's Cleveland Browns. This team went 0-16 last year, and they've been pretty bad since they came back into the league. There was right. that one year where they made the playoffs, but I didn't even remember that.
Since Jim Brown left.
Right, right. But according to my research, I might have missed a pick, but they have a total of 8 picks, 4 of the first 35 picks. So you should at least get 4 of the best 35 players.
Wow.
Reports are that they're considering Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, who physically is sort of similar to Ben Roethlisberger, and
right.
playing in the AFC North, you want a big physical quarterback who can sort of endure the weather and all the physicality of that division. So,
I agree.
I think there's a considerable amount of pressure on the new GM, John Dorsey, and Hugh Jackson to get it right. I mean, they passed on Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson in the last couple of years. So this is a year that they have to take a quarterback, and not only take the quarterback, take a quarterback, but get the right quarterback.
Quarterback for the weather.
Right.
Like you mentioned.
Right.
Because they see Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore twice a year.
Yep. So for me, it's the Cleveland Browns and no one else. They have to make a big splash. They've already had a pretty good offseason with Jarvis Landry and Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
Carlos Hyde and a few guys on the defensive side. But this is their night, and hopefully they take advantage of it. But as history has shown us, they probably won't.
Don't you feel like with them getting Tyrod that they could really just take one? Since all these quarterbacks to me seem to be in a hat.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's pressure, or do they look at it and say, well, wow, if one of them turns out to be better and we passed on him by not taking him, do you think there's going to be added pressure to that?
Plus, they passed on one last year.
Yeah.
Well, two last year.
Well, and you said that the great thing about Tyrod is that you can sit the kid down for a year or two or however long it takes for that kid to develop. So we won't know if whoever they take is the right one until maybe next year or the year after. So I think they're in the perfect situation to nurture the kid's talent.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. You know, they've proven to not be capable of making the right pick or nurturing the talent. So yeah.
I just think we live in a trust the process type age now.
Right.
So we see what's happening with Philly in basketball. Maybe you do have to trust the process.
Yeah. Right. They go, well, they, and speaking of nurturing, they go out to nurture that weather for a couple of years to make sure that they can play in cold weather, because that is a cold weather division, you know, obviously. So, story number three, the music industry went bananas last night on Twitter. Twitter got shut down as the Philadelphia 76ers owner goes and picks up Meek Mill from prison, and he is released in time for him to ring the bell. G, your thoughts on Meek Mill being released to go to the game?
Not only was he released, the owner went to pick him up. They went there by helicopter.
So. Yes.
Not only the music industry went nuts, any athlete who's a fan of Meek Mill or just knows or just feels that, you know, is an injustice that he has suffered here. They went crazy as far as his release,
right,
when he was released. It's it's been a whirlwind 24 hours for him.
I'm sure.
You know, he went straight to the game. He's sitting courtside with Kevin Hart, and I'm not sure who else he was sitting to, but you know, he got a haircut.
Yeah, sign.
Showered in the Philly locker room.
Got his Embiid jersey.
Yep.
And he was at the game. It's been a very interesting year for the city of Philadelphia.
Yep.
With the Eagles winning, with the
Villanova
winning, they claimed Penn State's NIT championship.
and Hancock 76ers.
And the 76ers are
which I was
going
a
to
year
the second
too early
round.
On, I guess.
Say it again.
Which I guess I was a year too early. Yeah, right. What up, D Will?
But they're headed to the second round, and they are a threat, I think, to the Cavs or whoever else if they end up playing someone else.
Right.
I think it's still a great possibility. But it's great that he was released. I didn't know if it was going to happen, even though we saw all these things of like
build up.
Yeah, this is messed up. He shouldn't be here.
Right.
The initial charge is almost 10 years old. And then he got into an argument in an airport and popped a wheelie on a dirt bike. So he gets sent back to jail. It just didn't seem right.
But
so.
No bond.
And no bond.
That's the biggest thing.
With no bond.
Yeah, they're just crazy.
Yeah.
So it's good that he's finally out. Hopefully this gets resolved sooner than later, and he can get back to his music, get back to just being a Philly guy.
Right.
Because the whole city loves him, and I think a lot more people around the country got behind him.
Well, like I said, and I've always said this, nothing unites America like sports. I mean, this is the world that we live in because of a sporting event, because of the championships that's won by the Eagles, Villanova, and the Sixers is kind of riding one of their hometown guys, you know, to see it kind of went to bat for him and some other owners is, right. You know, as well, like Robert Kraft and the music industry all went to bat for Meek Mill, and it was all surrounded with sporting events and music. You know, we need to figure out a way to kind of inject that into some of this social stuff that we also go through as well, you know, because it's as simple as you see where we stand. It was some injustice going on. Let the man go. And here he is. He was at the game last night. So, hey, shout out to the whole city of Philadelphia and Meek Mill. So I'm pretty happy that he better get into the studio and go ahead and drop one. So because the momentum is hot.
Another part that was crazy of his case, allegedly, was there a judge who wanted him to put her cousin's friend on or something like that?
Right.
Yeah. But like, he should have been released immediately.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Exactly. All right, story number four. Fellas, I got to ask you this. I mean, this has gotten under my skin, so I'm just going to stay away from this. Okay? But Coach Bud is turned down the Phoenix Sun job, interviewing for the Knicks job at this point. I just don't know where in America you can have a job and get paid millions, but you say, keep paying me, but I'm going to go look for another job. Essentially, right? I mean, because that's what's going on. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right.
On the 15th and 30th, he's still getting
check.
But he's interviewing for other jobs.
But the key is, Harris, the Hawks are allowing it. So that lets you know they want him gone.
So the question is, do you want Coach Bud back then?
I don't think you want him back because I don't think the organization wants him back.
Okay.
I think there have been bridges burned there because of the titles that were taken away from him.
Butt hurt.
Yeah, so I think he's a little chafed in that respect.
Right.
All the talent is gone. You know, he did, you know.
He screwed that up. Let's be honest.
Okay. I think he looks at the Knicks job and he sees a possibility or an avenue to maybe maneuver to get Kawhi in New York. Kawhi is rehabbing in New York right now. So I think all this kind of plays in together. I think he sees the roster. He has a decent relationship with your guy.
Tim Hardaway.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
There you go.
So
he made him some money.
He made him some money.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of lines up with what's going on in New York, and I feel like he thinks that's a job that might even maybe turn into something for him.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a big place to be. There's a lot of money there, a lot of opportunities if you can turn that franchise around. So I think that's where it's going. But as far as me wanting him back here, I don't think it's a good fit now. Once you start to open that can like that, I don't think you can put everything back in and just keep it rolling. So he will be a lame duck coach. You know, the players will be like, well, he didn't want to be here, and the organization really doesn't want him. So I just don't think it's a good fit. I think it's time for him to move on.
I got you. All right, Smooth, what'd you think on that?
And full disclosure, the Hawks actually owe Budenholzer, I think it's $13 to $14 million over the next 2 years.
Right.
And from what I understand, that's going to be hard to walk away from, because if Bud does walk away, the Hawks are still on the hook for their money. They would still have to pay him. So, and I think the higher salary was a result of him being president
and GM.
Yeah. So, if you're the Atlanta Hawks, you want the Knicks to want Bud bad enough that they're willing to give some kind of compensation. And I know it works in the NFL that way sometimes. I don't know.
I think
it's that way in the NBA.
Yeah.
They'll get like some picks.
Get some kind of compensation. Plus the Hawks, well, the payroll, the salary, they should be kind of, what are they over the end of the cap this year?
The Hawks?
Yeah, their cap should be relatively low, shouldn't it?
I think so. They may have
they got
just
two,
passed the
two good
floor.
Two players that really get paid, and that's
Bazemore and Schroeder.
And yeah, German Shock.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're the Knicks, if you're Atlanta, that's what you want. You want the Knicks to want them that bad.
Right.
And hopefully that's the case.
Hey, shout out to Stacey Webb, man. She's a longtime listener. She on Facebook Live, she said, "What up, crew?
What up, Stacey?
So she got some ties to Memphis as well.
There
so,
you go.
Shout out to Pressure World. Shout out to Pressure World. But Coach Bud, all right, so they asking on Facebook Live, who should the Hawks get as a coach then before we go to break?
Well, my, you know who I would like. And we'll see if they can do it. And he was a former coach in Memphis.
Fizdale,
right. Former assistant with Miami. I would love to see him come here and try to get this organization in the right direction. So, to me, that's the coach that I would target.
Yep.
David Fizdale.
Fizdale. Smooth.
I agree. Fizz is an amazing personality. You know, he's a black man, obviously, which would go pretty well with what happens here in Atlanta. So I think it's a great fit. I completely agree.
G?
Fizdale is the right guy.
Because he used to coach in Miami, right?
Yeah. Well, not just that. Well, he's coaching in Memphis. They picked him. What's wrong with me picking him?
No, it's a great fit, though, but go ahead.
But I think his style and his demeanor, he's from L.A., and I think he would actually fit in better with Atlanta than he would have Memphis.
Right.
So I think as far as a as far as his attitude, I think it will work with
and Atlanta. He's a former Hawks assistant with Mike Woodson.
Do you think they'll bring Mike Woodson? Do you think they'll try to bring Mike Woodson back?
I'm asking
because the Knicks are thinking about it.
I'd like Monty Williams to come sit on the bench with it. I think that would be a great fit. Him and Monty Williams and then some other assistants bring in some guys. But those would be the two I would like to have.
Now, I do. I had been screaming Tisdale for a week.
Fizdale.
Just, you know, jazz guy.
R.I.P.
Yeah. But Quinn Snyder ain't a bad guy either. Yeah. And I know, you know, he got Utah rolling. He got him a baby superstar out there. He's a former Hawks assistant as well. Was known as a developmental guy when he was here. But do you really want to stay in Utah?
As long as Donovan Mitchell wants to stay,
right,
he's going to stay. I mean, he has a perfect situation, though. I mean, you look at those situations like that and where he's playing. If he gets Utah rolling, think about how Malone and Stockton for years, that crowd, that city gets behind that franchise.
Yeah.
And they got something going right now. Let them become a place to where they can get that team to develop into a perennial playoff team. Hey, man, he lives it up in Utah. All
right, Smooth, go ahead.
I think the only problem with Snyder is that he's such a hot commodity now.
And
the price tag is going to be too high, I think. And with a guy like Fizdale, Memphis was only paying him a couple million a year. And I think the economics are going to be a bigger part of it than most people probably realize.
I agree.
Snyder also has 3 years left on his contract. He just signed an extension last year.
Yeah.
So that's another situation in which the Hawks would have to put together some kind of package. And it's probably a 3 years worth of something to bring in Snyder.
Wow. Well, I guess we can still dream. But that's gonna end our hot news, and we got to take a quick break. But when we get back, we got buy and sell. Are you buying or are you selling? Facebook Live, SRT Tennis, y'all hang with us. Keep it locked. You listen to Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew on The Real 1100.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Sports Roundtable.
Oh, you know, UCF, that's cool. It's a nice little story, but it's being the tallest midget at the party. it really don't mean nothing.
It means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
As sports fans, we all have a choice. We either buy or sell.
Okay, sell it all.
All right, welcome back to the Real 1100 AM Sports Roundtable. And I think Jay just heard that sound for the first time. And Adcock as well. So that is our intro for the buy or sell segment here, in which I'll ask the panel some questions here, and they'll just determine if they are buying it or if they're selling it. So our first item up here. All right, this is one that HO sent me the other day. So the Browns, they have the number one pick in the draft, and I think we're all just expecting them to mess this up somehow. So they are seriously considering last year's Heisman winner Baker Mayfield at the number one pick. Buy or sell Baker Mayfield as the number one pick, or even if he's available at number four. I'll start with you, Jay.
I'll actually sell it. I don't understand why you pick him at number one, because I think, like you say, he's going to be available at four. And honestly, like Hancock said, it's like pulling names out of a hat. I think you can probably pull any one of them. We don't expect any guy to play in the first year, but I just have a hard time believing that this franchise is that cursed that you can't get it right. They have to get it right this year. So I guess it really doesn't matter who they pick, because either it'll work out, but chances are it probably won't. So,
all right, HO, I'm selling this as well. This got to be smoke. I mean, you know, nothing against Baker Mayfield, but he hadn't played in real cold weather. Is he 6 feet?
I don't look like
him. Okay.
6 feet and 2/5. Something
okay,
like that.
Yeah, something like that. At four, you probably have my attention, but at one, I'm selling all day.
All right, Hancock.
I'm selling. I'm definitely selling. I just don't understand it. You saw what happened with this type of quarterback already. Even if he turns out to be good, you couldn't fault Cleveland for passing on him because they had this in Johnny Manziel. They've already seen this movie.
Yeah.
It you know.
Part two now.
I'm not going to take a chance on a guy that really, okay, running from the police, he grabbing his crotch, he doing all these other. I've got built-in excuses. I've got built-in excuses. Even if he turns out to be Drew Brees, you can't fault me, because I'm going to say I just couldn't take him with all the risk factors that he has.
Well, he didn't get away from the police.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, it's like, well, I ain't going to say it like Donald Trump said about McCain, but I'm not going to say it. But he couldn't even get away from the police, you know. So the only thing is, you've done this with a short Big 12 quarterback. I couldn't do it again, even though Manziel was in the SEC.
Right.
But still that same style offense and whatever. I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
I would pass. I would sell.
I got a couple of people on Facebook Live say they buying.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I see that as well. All right. Well, I say I would sell on this as well. Even though he doesn't like being compared to Manziel, they're the same kind of player.
Right.
And I think what the Browns may talk themselves into is that he's more competitive because he worked for what he had. He came to Texas Tech as a walk-on, then he went to Oklahoma as a walk-on, and finally got a scholarship, and he worked his way up. So he's willing to work to get to the NFL.
That's all good and fine. But, okay, let's go football terms. We saw him in the bowl game against Georgia, and he was lighting Georgia up as long as Georgia's DBs played off. But as soon as they closed those windows down and brought the DBs up, he was holding on to the ball, and Georgia made their run and got back in the game.
Right.
And that's the key. You have to anticipate throws and whatever. And he's not even coming out of a pro-style offense. We're talking about the run and shoot, whatever you want to call that, red air raid offense type, that they don't run that in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, anything that he's run, a lot of it is broken plays if you watch what he does,
right,
just like Manziel did. And in the NFL, you have to throw on time. So that's another knock. I'm selling.
Understandable. All right. Next item we have up. This happened a couple days ago. So on Instagram, Kevin Durant strikes on social media again, in which he liked a comment in which someone commented on an Instagram picture. And he liked a comment that said, "Subpar. The problem was Westbrook. They had a good team." I kind of cleaned that up. But Kevin Durant liked the comment, and he said it was on accident. I'll start with you, Hancock. Based on history, can we even buy this excuse?
I'm not buying. KD, you did that because you're still turning that knife in Russ. Russ is having a bad series. Things are happening. And it really shows that, okay, this is what I was talking about, y'all.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. This is why we couldn't win. I couldn't win with it. This is why I left. So, yeah, I think he liked it on purpose. You know, he hadn't been real social media savvy anyway with his burner account and all that.
Yeah, but we only know which account it was.
Yeah, so, you know, it is what it is. I don't think it was an accident. And I just think it was a good troll job. I just think he should have stood behind it and just said, yeah, well, it got liked, or not say anything. He already said enough when it got liked.
Right.
He didn't have to defend it. He didn't have to do anything. So, yeah, I'm not buying that he did it accidentally.
H.O., what do you think?
I'm not buying it as well. I mean, I think KD he's pretty trolling when it comes to social media. I think he can kind of get away with some of the things that, you know, is said because of who he is and where he plays for.
And he won a ring.
Oh, yeah, ain't no doubt. And, you know, he has something to brag about. I mean, this is, you know, and my thing is he knows how, if they would have faced them in the playoffs, you know, he's sticking that knife in it. You know, so and things of that nature. So, as we've seen, Westbrook is easily sensitive to certain comments, and he would have probably been off his game. So, yeah, he liked it on purpose.
All right, Jay, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't buy it either. But as the guys have said, Westbrook's play, it continues to reinforce his decision. Like, you see what he's going through. I would have been going through the same thing. So, they continue to give him reasons to troll. OKC, Billy Donovan, who I'm going to kill earlier, later on. But Billy Donovan, Russell Westbrook, I mean, they continue to give him reasons to actually like Instagram posts, Twitter posts, whatever it may be. You know, he's semi social media savvy, but you know, because he couldn't handle the two Twitter accounts. But I think the whole situation is funny. It's pretty hilarious, and it's just another reason to keep a feud that should have died a long time ago. It's just another reason to keep it going.
Yep. All right. Next up, we have from the All American Football Alliance, or the Alliance of American Football, whatever it's called. That new football league.
Yeah.
That's not the XFL. So it appears Atlanta is going to have a team. They're going. Their head coach is going to be former Vikings coach Brad Childress, and their offensive coordinator is going to be former Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick. I'll start with you, HO. Do you buy Michael Vick as an offense coordinator or as a coach in any capacity?
Actually, I do buy it. I think he has done everything possible to recapture the love of fans and things of that nature. And I think coming back to Atlanta, where he did not study, would give him an opportunity to show people that, you know, I do know the game. I just deserve a second chance. So I do buy Michael Vick being a coach, offensive coordinator at any kind of capacity possible, because I think he's done more than enough for forgiveness for whatever you may think of him and what he has done in the past. But I think this is almost like the second chance for Atlanta love and things of that nature. So I buy it.
All right, Hancock?
Yeah, I buy it. I think, like Har said, I think early in his career, his talent allowed him not to have to study because he was just better athletically than most of the guys he was playing against.
Yep.
And that started at a small age, I'm sure. He was probably the first pick at every level, and he just could outrun everybody and do things that nobody else could do.
Right.
I think later on he probably playing under Chip, well, not Chip Kelly, but Andy Reid. I think he started to understand that it takes more preparation. He probably got into studying and understanding concepts of the game. So being around that, going to meetings, and I think he's whatever he's learned, I think he could impart. Especially this is a fledgling league, so there really aren't any established teams.
Right.
So why not? I think he would be, you know, pretty good. I'm sure he would be looked upon as a lot of these guys probably played with him all their life on Madden and whatever. So yeah. they kind of revel in that and have reverence for him in this position. So yeah, I think it'd be good.
All right, Jay?
I'm selling it. All right, you guys have said, I mean, in the past, he was known for not being the most studious guy. He didn't put in the work off the field and the film room and on the playbook. So, and I'm one who strongly believes that people change over time. People are allowed to evolve and grow and get better at what they do. But until I see it, I just can't believe it. Because this is a guy, like you said, he skated by for years just on pure athletic ability. And now you actually have to sit down and you have to not only learn things on your own, but you have to be a coach to others. Yeah. And are you capable of doing that? And when I saw him on Fox as an analyst, I wasn't impressed at all. So I'm not a believer. I'm selling it.
So do you think as a coach he'll be asking players to like cut their hair to look more presentable?
Probably. I mean, you know, he's in that role, so he has to play it now.
He's apologized enough, believe me. If anybody has fallen on the sword in their life, Mike Vick has.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll pretty. That's over with. I think he's apologizing. Yeah.
But with all that said, I honestly do hope it does work out for Michael Vick. Because I mean, he's a guy who has paid his debt to society, and I think he's well deserving of, you know, this opportunity that he has.
All right, got time for one more?
Yeah.
All right. So in the news this past week, I think there was some kind of meeting last week. As far as the one-and-done rule with college basketball in the NBA, there was a commission on college proposals that wants to get rid of it. But one person who is also in favor of getting rid of it is a guy who may have benefited if not the most, then he's up there, and that would be John Calipari. So whoever wants to go first, who does anyone buy? Do you buy or sell John Calipari favoring the end of the one and done?
Let me go. I don't believe John Calipari in anything that he says as far as college basketball. Especially when it comes to him benefiting or not benefiting from these things. The only thing that I can really think of and truly say that he did not have this year a star-studded team, and he figured that if I can coach these guys and all of them does not leave, then I can pretty much recruit these type guys and I can still be successful. And he saw that, and this is now he's trying to get ahead of the game to say, yeah, y'all can go ahead and get rid of the one and done. I don't necessarily need it that much and things of that nature. But, you know, I'm not really buying what he's saying. I just think that he's taking advantage of the situation as far as college basketball, knowing the rules and things of that nature coming up, and they have to vote on it. He could have said this a year ago. He could have said this 2 years ago. But he's now saying it now. Coincidentally, they're meeting about it. And he actually said it before they said that they were going to meet about it. So I guess Wild Wild West got the information to John Calipari and said that you might need to go ahead and say this out and get out in front of it. So, no, I don't believe in that.
So do you think in a way this is a recruiting tool in some way?
This is – well, he's coaching the he got the 18 and under team now. So it doesn't matter at this point. So I don't think it's a recruiting tool because he doesn't necessarily need it at this point because the reputation is already set for itself. So I just think that he's like the car salesman. He's just trying to say everything that you want to hear to be in the good graces of the public.
All right. Hancock?
What was – I kind of lost what was buying or selling.
Are you buying or selling him being in favor of getting rid of the one-and-done rule?
Yeah, well, I'm buying that he's in favor. I'm selling the reason why. I'm selling the reason that he wants to get rid of it is because he's not getting the top-level players anymore. That's the key. I mean, he's not, but Duke is killing him in the top, in the real guys that he used to get. He's not getting that John Wall, Boogie Cousin anymore.
Anthony Davis.
Right. That's the problem right there. That's the issue. And, I mean, he was ahead of the curve. He started this thing.
Right.
And now it's like, hey, wait a minute, everybody catching up. Let me do something different. I don't blame him. You gotta find a different way.
Do you think it has to do with a certain guy in Durham?
Well, the guy in Durham's university is getting all those guys. There was even an article that came out now that says Duke is just like everybody else. It was on Yahoo the other day. It's a basketball factory that used to be an institution where they develop kids 2 to 3 years. But to, as I always told Horace, to Coach K's, you know, credit, he adapted with the times. And the times called for kids are not going to stay here. So he had to either get on board or get out the way. And now Calipari is seeing that his method is being hijacked by everybody else. And it's like, wait a minute, we got to do something about this. I got to get it to where my program is relevant again. You know, and that's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jay?
I completely agree. I'm actually selling his reason also. John Calipari, in my opinion, he's maybe the greatest spokesman in all of sports. He's the guy that continually, he tries to control the narrative, and he's done it probably at every stop. At UMass, the New Jersey Nets, University of Memphis, and now Kentucky. He's the guy, I mean, the writing on the wall, we knew the one and done rule was gone, not next year, but probably, 2020, according to reports. And I think it's, as the guy said, it's his way of getting ahead of the narrative. He can control his own narrative at this point. And I think this is all that's all he's doing. And that's all he'll ever do, because that's what he does. He's a slick talker. He's a spokesman. And he said what needs to be said.
Yep.
So That's my take on it.
All right. Well, I do have one more.
We out of time. We'll save it for next week. Yeah,
we'll save it for next week for sure.
That's it.
Yep, that'll do it for Buy and Sell. Buy or Sell, brought to you by Real Talk Tees. You can check the logo if you're watching on Facebook Live.
There you go. All right, man, we appreciate it. I like that. That was pretty fun. Buy and sell the item, the next item, and things of that nature. It is very cool. But I do got some other news that I do want to touch on as well. And let's start by talking about Ronald Acuña. Braves finally called him up, and he's in the lineup tonight, and I don't know what he has done. No, the Braves up 2-0, and I think he's over 2. But it's exciting for the Braves. They finally call up their superstar left fielder, and I'm pretty sure people cannot wait to see what he actually is doing or can do. Other news, as we mentioned, Mike Vick is the OC for the new Atlanta team in this new American Alliance Football League, coached by Brad Childress. And just come across, Dez Bryant turns down a multi-year deal with the Ravens, saying that he wanted to do a one-year deal to prove himself. And he turns down the multi-year deal. So, Hancock, I got to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, when you look at what he was trying to do, I can understand the thought process. But at this advanced stage and at this time when jobs are kind of limited for him, it was just too much for him to turn down a guaranteed deal to me. Yeah. I understand what he wanted to do was prove himself, to put himself in a position to try to negotiate for a bigger contract. Yeah. Next year if he had a great year. But I think his agent did him a disservice by not signing his name, whether he wanted to or not. Look, you had to get that money. And if he had guaranteed money, multi-year deal, what was it, 2-3-year deal?
I think it was a three-year deal.
Three-year deal. Hey, probably was two guaranteed, an option probably on the third or whatever. You got to take that money. And now he's sitting there with no man without a country.
Yeah.
So I think it was a bad move. I understand it, but I think he should have taken the money.
Smooth.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's on Dez Bryant's team, but they need to sit down and talk to somebody because I agree that was a bad move. And I think it would have been a good fit. And I'm thinking about Steve Smith and what he did a few years ago before he called it quits.
Right.
Steve Smith is obviously a smaller receiver than Dez, but they were both physical receivers.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Like, they go up, get the ball, and I think even though Flacco is probably limited at this stage in his career, but I felt that it would have been a good fit. There's no significant competition in Baltimore. I mean, they signed Willie Snead, and I think they brought in some other people. But they have a solid running game. Who knows? We don't know what Dez is thinking, but he's hell-bent on being in the NFC East. I don't know why. I guess it's to get back at the Cowboys.
That ship is sailed.
Yeah, just get season tickets to Cowboys or whoever.
Exactly. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we have not heard from Mr. LaVar Ball in weeks.
Months.
Until now.
Uh-oh.
Reports LaVar Ball is taking his boys out of Lithuania with 2 games left.
Mm.
Well, let me read it like this. New York Times is reporting angry LaVar Ball is what it says. Taking both of his boys out of Lithuania because he does not get along with the coach.
I thought he was coach.
There we go. Angry LaVar Ball abruptly pulls sons with an S out of Lithuania.
Yeah, at this point, I think the instability, it has to be getting to those 2 kids. I think they need to be in one place where they can be stable, where they can continue to nurture and hone what skills that they do have. We know the older kid was playing with middle schoolers. And what was it, China G? Or something like that.
A Chinese under 18 team.
Yeah, so we have serious doubts about his ability. But the youngest kid, we know he might have a chance. But moving them around, I don't think it's – going to end up being good for him in the long run.
What is he going to do with the youngest kid? Because is he still high school eligible?
Well, he would have been a junior this year.
So can he go back to high school in the United States?
Depends on the state, because technically he's played in a professional league.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure he can go to high school because he's still underage. But can he play? That's the thing. He probably can still play AAU. So that's something. So,
yeah, but who going to take on that?
Oh, believe me. Somebody will, because LeVar has money. You know that.
Yeah.
And bringing that kind of acclaim to your team, or that kind of shine, somebody will take it. He start his own organization. Yes, yeah. His son got no money to do that.
All right, well, let's go to the phone and get our guy, D. Will, the coach. LeVar Ball takes his sons out of Lithuania. One of your thoughts on that real quick.
Well, you know, it was coming sooner or later with him starting the JBL League. You knew something was coming down the pipe. But first and foremost, what's going on, fellas?
What up, Weezy? What's happening, Mike? Yeah,
ain't nothing, man. What's happening?
You got
ain't
it, man.
Shaking, man.
Good to hear you, boy.
Yeah, man.
Get a T-shirt.
Well, hey, man, you know we're working.
You already,
but yeah, man. Like I was saying, with the JBL league starting, man, and LeVar Ball starting his own league, it only makes sense for him to take him out and put him in there. The more star power he can bring to the league with his sons playing, because they are social media stars,
right?
You know, it's all the better. And plus, the younger one can play, so why not?
I feel you. I'm glad you called in on the perfect time, because now it's time to talk spring football. G-Day, Georgia Tech had a game, Friday Night Lights, and, of course, Alabama had their spring game. And two of those games were, you was kind of anticipating some quarterback situations. Can you give us a little rundown on what your thoughts are for G-Day and I don't know what Alabama calls it, Bama Day or something?
A-Day.
A-Day. Your thoughts on both days and – what are you looking for? What are you seeing from the quarterback situations on both schools?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Both schools are really, I don't want to say they're suffering, but both of them have the same issue. They have two capable quarterbacks. And for G-Day and the University of Georgia, just look at them. If you look at them, they are following in the footsteps of Alabama. Last year, they had a freshman quarterback lead them all the way to the national championship game, which they lost. All right, that's... Jalen didn't make it to the national championship game last year, but he made it to the playoffs, and he lost. And he's coming back, and now he has a freshman, a younger guy, who is just as good, maybe better, breathing down their heels. So now both schools have quarterback controversies. And in the G-Day game on Saturday, you saw that's Jake Fromm's team. The guys, you can tell by the guys on the team, the coaches, the players, everybody rallies around him. He is the pseudo-leader of that team. But that kid, Justin Fields, is a beast. I never got to see him play in high school, right. But looking at him on the field at G-Day, he does look like a mini Cam Newton. I mean, the kid has the size, he has the arm, and you can tell already he has the moxie to play the position at a big-time level, and I really expect him to give Jake from State Farm a run for his money at the quarterback position coming up this season. I'm not going to say he's going to take it, but I do believe he's going to get ample playing time this year for University of Georgia. Now, on the other end, for my Alabama Crimson Tide, it's a little bit more dimmer. I don't have no good news, I'm going to be honest with you. Tua Tagovailoa, thank heavens, did not play because it would have been even worse. But my main man, and everybody knows I've been critical of Jalen Hurts. You can listen to past shows. You can follow my social media page, shameless plug. Follow my social media page, and you can see that I actually have been critical of Jalen Hurts here and there throughout the season last year about his ability to read his progressions, go through the progressions of the passing game, and actually be a factor in the passing game down the field. But I expected him to come in this year with the whole offseason, the whole spring. I expected him to at least look better. And in a game like an A-Day game, a spring game, that's a game that is tailor-made for you to be successful. It's all scripted. They can't hit you. It's a lot of factors planted in his favor that should have helped him out and made him do well on that day. But I'm going to tell you, fellas, I was in the building. I was on the field.
My man.
Eye level. Doing the SRT report for the Sports Roundtable show. And I'm going to tell you like this. Jalen Hurts has regressed.
Mm. Wow.
The pressure, I believe the pressure on him that Tua is putting on him since that second half of that Georgia game and the national championship game, I believe the pressure has been on him. I believe he's feeling that pressure. And I believe his father coming out and making those comments 2 days before the A-Day game about if Jalen was to transfer, he would be the most sought-after free agent in college football history. I believe that only added pressure to Jalen to perform well. And we've seen Jalen in pressure situations over the last 2 years. And what have we always said about him? He's so calm. Yep. His demeanor is perfect. He's so stoic. He never gets too up. He never gets too down. But it's starting to show in his play because he was 18 of 32 in a spring game. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
That's totally unacceptable. And the thing is, our third-string quarterback looks like a freaking world beater.
But, D-Will, let me ask you this, because let's just change and put this in context of a sport. Some guys can shoot, and some guys kind of learn to get a jump and whatever, and they might be serviceable. And I think it's almost like that with throwing the football. You have a natural release, and you can see it from certain quarterbacks, and certain quarterbacks look mechanical. I just don't think Jalen Hurts is ever going to be a polished passer. And I think that's going to always be to the detriment now with Alabama trying to throw the ball downfield. It just showed up too much in that championship game. And I agree with you. What his dad said just really added fuel to the fire, and it put a lot of pressure on. His dad even said it was Jalen's fault, saying that he opened this can of worms. He shouldn't have let this happen. Yeah. So that's tough. Yeah. You know, for your dad to criticize you to that extent, you know, I'm sure he's still in his corner, but he put all the pressure on Jalen. So I just don't know.
I agree, but you got to understand, Jalen's dad is a high school football coach,
exactly. Yeah.
So he understands the position, he understands the job at hand, he understands if somebody walks in the building and takes your position, there's nothing you can do about it because you opened that door, like you just said. That was his quote.
Right.
But I think we need to start looking at Jalen Hurts in the mold of a Tim Tebow. We knew Tim Tebow couldn't hit the side of a barn.
Right.
But he was a winner. He was a winner.
Yep.
When he stepped on that football field, everybody had confidence that when the time came to win the game, he was going to make the play in order to win the game. Whether that was passing, running, or whatever it may be, you had confidence in him that he was going to win the game. And as Alabama fans and Alabama and people who watched Alabama over the last 2 years, we've always had that thought process about Jalen. But my thing is right now, I don't see the confidence in Jalen that I've seen over the past 2 years. It seems like his confidence has wavered entirely, and that's the detriment right there. He always had his confidence and his demeanor to lean back on, and now that has been questioned, I believe he's going to have a hard time playing, especially again at Alabama.
Do you think some of his confidence is down there at FAU because Kiffin is gone? See, Kiffin put him in positions and made it a little bit easier to play quarterback there.
Now, that point you just made is spot on, because I'm going to tell you like this. If you were watching the A-Day game live, Jalen Hurts dropped back the pass one time, didn't go through his progression, and did what Jalen does. He broke out and ran.
Mm-hmm.
He gained 26 yards on the play.
Right.
Now, and I understand they can't tackle him, but I don't care if they were live. They weren't tackling him. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So he still would have got those yards. But Nick Saban was caught with a hot mic by ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Saban made the statement, 3 years in, and you still can't make that play?
See.
Wow, that's tough. Hey, D-Will, real quick, I got to ask you one question about the NBA, because we got to get to the second half of the show. What are your thoughts about OKC and Russell Westbrook?
I want to hear this.
And what he said about Rubio and the game that he actually played.
Russell Westbrook got caught up in the sauce, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just be honest about it.
Right.
He got caught up in the sauce. He made it personal.
Exactly.
And we already know that Russell Westbrook, I'm not going to say he's not a team player.
I will.
But let's say it. For him to be successful, he has to be the alpha dog. He has to go at it in that standpoint. But when he made it personal with Ricky Rubio, he really just exiled everybody else on his team.
Yep.
And the thing about it is, dude, you beefing with Ricky Rubio. He had a good game. Chalk it up and move on to the next one.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, before we let you go, man, I got to get your opinion about Meek Mill, bro. Meek Mill got so much love. I know you in the music industry. Side of the Cloud 9 Records, man, and things of that nature. So I gotta get your thoughts on Meek Mill and what it meant to the music industry for him to get released from prison.
Man, I'm gonna tell you like this. If you look back on Meek Mill's career 2 years ago, he was dead. Drake had buried him, threw the dirt on him, had a eulogy, and it was over with. Mm. But all of a sudden, he broke up with Nicki Minaj. That gave him more clout, which is beyond me. I don't understand it. But in today's rap game, it's like jail is a boost.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a boost. So, but I'm trying to. This is what confuses me about the whole Meek Mill situation. When did Meek Mill get all this love? When did he start getting the love from Robert Kraft and Al Sharpton? All of these high profile people who have nothing to do with the culture or hip hop are supporting him. Now, I'm like, does Meek Mill, what does he do? Like, I just don't understand where the love for Meek Mill is. I understand social media can blow you up nowadays, and he's being blown up, but I just don't get it, because yesterday, that boy, he a legend from now. This dude had the Sixers send him a helicopter to the jail to fly him from the jail to the stadium. He took a shower in the arena, and they dressed him. I'm like, what in the heck is going on? When did Meek Mill become Drake or Jay-Z?
Only in America.
I just don't know.
Only in America.
Yeah, it is. Hey, man, we got to take a quick break, man. We appreciate you calling in. Can't wait to get back into the studio, man. Keep doing what you're doing. We love you. SRT Tennis love you, man. And stay down and do your thing, dude. We really appreciate it, bro.
All right, Weezy.
Hey, man, love y'all too, man. See y'all next week, man, for sure. See y'all next week for sure.
All right, man. Of course, that's my main man, D. Will. I say that report. That was right on time. It was like an alley-oop. Say the spring game, because I knew he told me he was at A-Day.
Yeah.
And he said he was go
I saw
come
him
and,
on Facebook.
Yeah, go come and bring some heat. But we got to get to the second hour of the show. So y'all keep it locked, tennis. Keep it locked. You listen to Sports Roundtable with SRT Crew only on The Real 1100.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Lakeville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's The Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today. Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bo Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential.
We know you can't get enough of WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
The Real.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R.
Crew. SRSRSRSRT, they got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame, if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H.O. got that payload when he say so, what you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy, break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever, real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT, behind the glass, that G-Money. Man with a strong, I never lose, six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio. Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable, hour number two. I am your host. Humble host, that is. I don't like to brag. H.O. from Bankhead. Got my main man, the sports superhero Hancock in the building.
Yep.
Jay Smooth, the sixth man, picking up his trophy when the NBA Awards come out.
Yep.
And, of course, my main man, G Money, behind the glass, dropping them beats. And D. Will, the coach, just called in and gave us the spring football report. Say it's still Jake's Fromm team, but he had a buddy now. And if they don't get them running backs running, it may change quick. So, also, we might as well go ahead and just start looking for teams for Jalen to go to.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Ways.
I mean, we might as well just start putting flyers out. I mean, FAU.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, FAU, I mean, it's obvious. That's an obvious choice.
Yeah. Does he even have to sit out? Does he have to sit out?
Yeah, I think so.
He would.
He would?
Yeah.
Day I do want
to. You got to graduate.
No, I was just saying that
they're in D1. They're in the Sun Belt.
The USA. What are they? Sun Belt, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the division, right?
Well, they are
right. If he went to an FCS,
right? Yes, that's the thing.
That's it.
Then he would.
Right,
he
but
would be able
they're
to
not play. FCS, right?
Okay. Well, good luck, Jalen Hurts.
You know, he cut his hair. You know that didn't work out for Samson.
Nah.
Hancock, that is a biblical story for you guys that don't know religion.
There you go. NBA scores update. The Pacers are 56-47. Do you have that?
Yeah, that's what I'm watching now. Looks like they're playing them pretty tight. LeBron has not taken over. Looks like he's trying to pace himself for the second.
Pace himself. I got you. And the Raptors are up 48-47 at halftime. So those are your two scores. For the basketball, and the Braves are up 3-2 if you're in the baseball, and they're in the bottom of the fifth inning.
I put some fruit cups with them Braves.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to tell you.
They're pretty good, man.
Absolutely.
Get a little fruit cup going with them.
Hey, we had some hot news earlier. We did buy and sell. I think it went pretty good. G, you did a good job on the buy and sell. That was awesome. We had some other news where we talked about LeVar Ball.
So he is starting his own league.
He's trying to. I can't confirm that it's.
Yeah, I know he had talked about it. I didn't know it was really still in the works because
they had a website.
They do.
Yeah, they had to. There was an issue.
I had
with
a website
having,
one time too. But on.
They had to. There was an issue with
Lonzo.
Having Lonzo on it because he was still at UCLA.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I mean, you can get a website for it. Cheap these days for the year you lease it. So, but Dez Bryant turns down a multi-year deal with the Ravens. Hancock said, "You got to get that. You got to secure. Got to secure the bag." So that didn't go over too well. And we also talked about Meek Mill and D. Will say he don't know where all his love coming from. But like I said, sports unites America like no other. So. That's what we're going to get into. But right now, it's time to talk some NBA. So, G, Sports Roundtable Discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it. Roundtable Discussion sponsored by Bo Bell Basketball Academy. If you're looking for some basketball enhancements, improvement, please go to Bo Bell, CoachBoBell, basketball.com. over 25 years of experience where he believes that feet work is key. So make sure you go to the website, CoachBobel.com, and check all of the information out. You'll also probably see some AAU stuff on there as well, as he is out at Swinney Sports Academy. All right, fellas. We just gave some scores to the Pacers. Well, actually, at halftime now, 56-49. Let's go ahead and start with the games that are officially over. Pelicans and Portland. This was a whitewash.
Yes, it was.
The Pelicans looked like they were head and shoulders better. The backcourt play looked like they was head and shoulders better.
Yes.
The front court looked like they was head and shoulders better.
Yes.
So, Han, I want you to talk about, at least start us off talking about your thoughts on the series.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just going to throw it out. They're saying Terrence Starks might.
Well, he got to go.
Be the foul guard.
He got to go. And I think, I'm being honest, there is even talk of breaking up that backcourt.
Right.
And I think so because you and I, when we talk, you know, we do our thing. We talk on the side. You got two guards that don't affect the game when the other one is going off. You know, that they don't assist and make plays for one another the way a backcourt should and fit. You got either McCallum is going off or either Dame is going off. And it just, they're both small guards, to be honest with you. So there's no Clay and Steph where you got Clay to protect. And I just think that they're so cap-strapped with that big free agency year that they gave away all their money.
Mm-hmm.
The only way for them to free up space is they're going to have to move one of those guards and create some cap room. There's nothing else on the team really is going to command anything or you know, allow them to do anything creative. They probably won't be able to sign Nurkic back unless they do one of do this type of thing. And you're going to need – Nurkic is good for when you play a big center or you play somebody that can get the ball inside and Embiid or even Denver center.
Oh, yeah. Jokic.
Those type of guys, even Boogie Cousins, somebody can bang with. But if you put him on the perimeter, he suffers. So, I, you know, we look at Portland and you say how great a year they had, but I was telling Harris, when you look a little more in depth at it, the West kind of faltered this year if you look at it. You know, Minnesota was in third place before Jimmy Butler went out. You know, Denver was right there. Even though Portland came in third place, they only got in third place by a very limited amount of games. A few games go either way, they could have fallen from third to seventh or out of the playoffs.
Well, if Kawhi played 12 games.
I didn't even mention Kawhi. He didn't play. So it just, a lot of things broke white. And I hate to even seem that I'm denigrating their season because they had a great season. But a lot of things broke in their favor for them to get this third position. And the chickens came home to roost, or the roosters came home to crow, or whatever you want to say. Plymouth Rock landed on us. It didn't matter. When it all fell down and boiled down, the superstar Anthony Davis, playoff Rondo, and Jrue Holiday, and the
Miritich.
That five that they put on the floor, those four right there, they played a brand of basketball that Portland couldn't contend with.
Bad matchup.
It is a real bad matchup. They caught him at the wrong time. And to be honest with you, the best thing that happened for New Orleans was Boogie getting hurt.
Mm.
Because now you had a superstar able to grow. This is what I said. He's like you put a plant in the sunlight and he just blossomed.
Yeah.
Because he was being shaded half the game by going to Boogie. And it's hard to say because Boogie is a talent. But you can see the difference in how they play. With Nurkic there, they stretch the floor. And a more.
You mean Meritage?
When Meritage's there, he stretches the floor and he still has enough size to help rebound and defend a little bit. So, you know, Boogie is a great, great talent, but I just think he and Davis together was a little much.
Hey, all their names sound the same. All right, Jay, what you got on the series?
Actually, I want to look at the Trailblazers, their overall, their team payroll.
Yeah.
They ranked 11th in team payroll this season, 2017-2018 season. They paid out over $118 million last year. And out of that $118 million, most of it went to Lillard and McCollum, but the rest of it was paid to guys like Evan Turner, Mo Harkless, who's being paid $10 million. Who was that? Myers Leonard, Al Farouk Aminu. I mean, you're paying these guys a lot of money, and you got absolutely nothing from them. They had absolutely no effect on the series.
Yep.
Mm. The Pelicans, they completely negated. They took Damian Lillard and McCollum out of the series.
Yep.
And these are your two best players.
Yep.
Terry Stotts. Or is it Scott's or Stotts?
Stotts.
Whatever it is, it won't matter. He'll be probably unemployed.
Terry gone.
Yeah, Terry gone. He found absolutely no way to free these guys up to get them in space, to make them somewhat useful. And, you know, I have to credit Alvin Gentry. He did a great job. I was surprised at what Jrue Holiday did, you know, with his wife being fully healthy. I know she struggled with the brain tumor, tumor while she was pregnant. His daughter's healthy, and, you know, he's playing the best basketball of his life.
Yep.
Rondo, I mean.
Playoff Rondo.
Playoff Rondo. This was the guy who won the championship with the Boston Celtics. A lot of people overlooked that fact.
Right.
And Anthony Davis, as Hancock mentioned it, I mean, he's arguably, in my opinion, maybe the best player in the NBA.
It's not close.
I saw you looking up in the sky like he's up there.
He is. He really is.
Wasn't that early on him, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out D-Will.
But yeah, this series was a complete waste of time, and I can't say I was disappointed in Portland because I thought they were fool's gold the entire year.
I got you. Gee, you want to add anything to the series, or shall we move on? Because it was such a bad matchup.
It was an awful matchup.
Yeah,
and like I was telling you earlier, it was especially horrible for Nurkic because every time Anthony Davis dunked on him, either Anthony Davis or someone on the Pelicans pointed at Nurkic while he's on the ground.
Body bag. Bring out the tape. Put the choke around it.
Exactly.
Awful.
Awful. All right, let's go to Philly, Miami. Hancock, I'm going to have to put a time limit on you because I know you want to talk about them Sixers. And Dwayne Wade could possibly be his last game.
Right.
Things of that nature.
Yeah.
The series went 4-1. Philly, you know, kind of took him out. Scrappy Miami team. Very, very scrappy.
Yeah, physical.
Very, very physical. Some other guys didn't show up. Bam didn't show up. Didn't see him. Whiteside, obviously, he's been up and down.
Can't play in that system.
You know, and I'm pretty sure.
He can't guard Embiid.
Can't, yeah, exactly.
He can't guard Embiid or Ilyasova.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, let me start with Jay Smoove on this series first with Philly and Miami. Say Hancock for Larry because I'm pretty sure he got – got something to say.
Yeah, if this is Dwayne Wade's last game, I would definitely be sad to see him go. But I'm sure Miss Union might have something to say about it. And I mean, why not come back and get another check?
Yeah.
Why not? Miami, they were completely overmatched. If Embiid played the first one, he missed the first two games, right?
Yep.
If he played, this probably would have been a sweep.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade, the guy we talked about earlier, he somehow the old flash came, resurfaced, and they were able to get at least one game. But the Sixers are the future, and we're seeing it now. Their time isn't – well, I can't say they won the championship this year. But with the addition of another player or two, we'll probably talk about that soon. I think the Sixers are definitely this is it for them. And I'll leave to Hancock.
Yeah, the Sixers, this roster, and I said this last year, that this roster is the one that I would take when we talked about young rosters. We talked about Milwaukee. We talked
Minnesota.
About them, Minnesota. And I said Philly because when I look at – when you look at Embiid and you look at Ben Simmons, you have two players that together I don't think there's another team in the NBA that can say at those two positions they're better than those two guys together. Simmons is coming to his own, and the only thing that was going to hold them back was the shooting, and I said that at the beginning of the year. I didn't think they had enough outside shooting. But the NBA made a mistake and let them get Ilyasova and let them get Bellinelli, which provides more outside shooting, which stretches the floor.
And they both came from where?
They came from Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
And what that does, you know, is it opens up the floor for Simmons. You know, even though he can't shoot, and it displayed itself even more last night. He missed so many bunnies last night around the rim. He just cannot shoot. And that's going to be something that he really has to work on, because they would have won even easier if he would have been scoring in the paint where he was.
Right.
But I just think with the spreading of the floor, with J.J. Redick coming off the screens and Covington spotting up, and they play at a pace to where I think it's the fastest pace in the NBA right now, to where they get more shots up in 24 seconds than anybody in the NBA. They just running. And there's no bad shot. That's the thing. They put more pressure on you because they're just – it doesn't matter. They're going to keep shooting. They're like – Houston does the same thing. They're just going to shoot. If they have a look at the rim, they keep putting it up. And if you can't score with them, you're not going to – you got to continue to put the ball in the hoop. And the thing about it on defense, they get you in an up-tempo game, and they're so long, they don't give you second and third shots. You know, Ilyasova's almost 7 foot. Bellinelli, what, six eight. You know, Covington 6'7", 6'8". Ben Simmons is almost 7 foot. Embiid is a 7-footer. You know, it's just so much size and length that comes off the bench, and they keep coming at you with waves. I really think they have a legit chance to get to the NBA Finals this year, to be honest. I really think they can get there. So we look for them in the future. Them and Boston. Boston gets those two guys back healthy. The East is it's not going to just be the LeBron Invitational again in the East.
Yeah.
You got teams now that are going to put up a fight, and it's going to be something to reckon with next year.
Speaking of Boston, that's Boston-Milwaukee. Boston is up 3-2 in that series now. When you look at it on paper, you would think that Milwaukee would have ran away with this series, even though Boston was high-seeded. But Boston they limp into the playoffs, losing Kyrie, losing possibly their best defender in Marcus Smart. And obviously, you know that they lost Gordon Hayward at the beginning of the season. They limp into the playoffs, and they're up on Milwaukee, who has a budding superstar in the Greek Freak. You got Jabari Parker coming off the bench. You got a former All-Star in Bledsoe. How is this happening, Hancock?
Milwaukee is kind of in a situation where I don't think the coaching situation is there. They played well at home. They came back and got two games.
Right, they did.
They got themselves back in the series.
And arguably one of the best shooters in the league in Chris Middleton.
So they do have the makings and whatever. I think they got off Jason Kidd too early. I think When they brought in Bledsoe, they took Greek Freak off the ball.
Yep.
Which they now still are just trying to find out who really is going to start the offense for them. Bledsoe is not the traditional point guard. He's more of a scoring guard. So I think they need to play a little bit more like what Philly plays and allow Greek Freak to be the point guard and distribute and get things going. They got to find some kind of medium between he and Jabari Parker, whether that's either move Parker or they have to come to Jesus meeting and learn how to play together. Because they have a lot of talent. They have size there. And I'm sure they could find a role there, even if that's just bringing him off the bench or whatever. But I don't even know if Parker is you know, accepting of that role. I think he wants to be a star because he was drafted to be the man of this franchise.
And trade Schroeder for him.
He's kind of gotten overshadowed by Greek Freak's ascension, so it's really a hard situation for him. But he's found his niche in these playoffs and played pretty well.
Yeah, he's had back-to-back 17-point games.
Yeah, so he's playing well. The Thon Maker. They started
Future All-Star.
Yeah. but in Milwaukee, he played well. He came in. Yeah. If he just does the things, and this is what we talk about Popovich and even in another sport, Belichick, don't ask him to do things he can't do.
Right.
Find out what he does well, and then, okay, block shots, run the floor, rebound. I don't want you out there shooting threes and all that. Find his niche and what he does well. And I don't think that What's his name? Pretty? Whatever his name,
Prunty.
The coach. Prunty.
Joe Prunty.
I don't think Prunty has a real grasp. I think he's more of an assistant.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of talent in Milwaukee. I just think they need the right coach to come in.
Thon Maker said that playing well in Milwaukee was due to Kevin Garnett's video tribute to him saying they would be a future All-Star. But whatever. All right, Jay Smooth.
The Boston Celtics, they do the intangible things really well. If you could put a price on the amount of heart and the amount of effort that they show up with every night, they would probably have heaps of gold.
Right.
Of it. You could probably back up a Brinks truck full of that stuff. And that's something that the Milwaukee Bucks just don't have right now or just don't play with. I agree that they're definitely the more talented team. Marcus Smart coming back last night provided a huge emotional boost.
Yeah.
And they just seem to be the tougher team. Terry Rozier. Even Al Horford has showed a level of toughness that I didn't know he had. Aaron Baines. I mean, you can go down the roster.
Semi Ojeleye.
Yeah. Another guy. And Jaylen Brown has been a revelation.
Yeah.
I mean, once they get Kyrie back and he can play alongside a true alpha talent, the sky's the limit for him. I think Gordon Hayward, I think him coming back complicates the situation next year. But for Brad Stevens to have the Boston Celtics up 3-2 right now, I think it speaks volumes to his ability as a coach. And, you know, that, like I said, their effort and their heart as a team. You can't buy it.
What does that starting lineup look like when those two guys come back next year? Think about that. Does Tatum go to the bench?
I think you got to move one of them. Tatum or Jaylen Brown.
You got to move one of them?
Yeah, I think you got to move one of them.
One of them has to go.
Wow. Yeah. He's on that rookie contract. He can't go nowhere.
Hayward is he's a three. And Jaylen Brown can play two or three.
Right.
So if they're going to move somebody, it would probably be Tatum.
How could you move that kid in the second? I couldn't move him.
I mean, well, Hayward could also play the two, but one of them has to go.
You think they have to go? You can't make that work.
No. One of them have to, like, come off the bench.
One of them
can be your sixth man, but you know how these kids are. They don't want to come off the bench.
If one of them have to go, then the Hawks need to get on the phone right now.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah. I agree.
If Washington flames out, one of those guys has to go. There's some players that are going to have to move. And like I said, even in Portland, I look at a lot of movement coming up. It's going to be some players out there to be got.
Yeah.
But wow, you said move Tatum.
You got to. You pay Gordon Hayward too much. I think they kind of jumped the gun on Gordon Hayward.
I mean, unless you think Gordon Hayward can be a two guard, if you think he can be a two guard, you keep Tatum. You trade Brown.
Wow.
But if you don't see Brown working out as a two guard, trade Tatum.
Yeah, they got some tough decisions in Boston. Yeah, it is. And I also misspoke. Bledsoe has never been an All-Star, but they paid him like he was.
Right.
Yeah. Is probably the point. Houston, Minnesota, hadn't kind of lived up to the series that I
thought it was.
Yeah, it's not as. I mean. Minnesota don't know how to get the balls to the big man on mismatches. Houston is shooting awful, but they up 3-1, so which means Minnesota is shooting just as bad.
Carl.
Well, until the third quarter of game four.
Right.
Put up 50 points in the third quarter.
Can I get that 50 piece?
Exactly. Yeah. So, Hancock, real quick, your thoughts on this series.
It all turned on one quarter. Like G said, it could have very easily, because Minnesota was in the game. I think they were down two coming out of halftime. And I thought we had a series on our hands, to be honest with you, because they were playing physical with them. But once Houston allowed them, you know, didn't allow them to get to the rim, that them being Minnesota, it was a problem because they just don't have enough consistent outside shooting to open it up. They got the offside of the defense for Houston is just laying inside in the lane and clogging it up. They got two or three people camping out in the lane because they don't respect the shooting. And if they can't shoot the ball in any way, Houston's going to put three up, three threes up, whether they're going in or not. And if they hit a hot streak and you can't score with them, you might as well stop playing.
Yeah.
And that this series will be over real quick.
Yeah. I want to read this one stat to you guys about this series. Minnesota has made only one fewer field goal than Houston has in this series. Right now, Houston has made 151 and Minnesota has made 150. But they're being outscored by 26 points. Yep, thanks to the huge deficiency from the three-point line.
Wow.
The three has been the difference, and a lot of it probably came from this 50-point quarter. And I think Mike D'Antoni, he's not a defensive guy, but what he's done this series, it could be that or just lack of shooting.
Packing it in.
Right.
That's all they're doing is packing it in.
Because
they're almost playing. I'm sitting there watching the other night. I'm like, why didn't the zone be? That's a zone defense.
Yep.
Because they're capping two people in the lane. And the whistle's not blowing. Hold the ball. Make the official make the call.
Yeah.
Because they're just allowing them to sit there and block up the paint.
Right.
Because the outside, there's no shooter in the corner. You see that in every NBA game. There's always a shooter that's stationed in the corner that you have to honor that'll knock down the short corner. Minnesota doesn't have enough. They don't have that firepower.
Yeah,
they don't have anybody to spread the floor. And that's what we always hear about, spreading the floor.
Yeah.
And they can't get Houston out of the paint.
Yeah. Is Tom Thibodeau the head coach and the president, Jim?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that needs to be changed.
For sure.
That has to be changed.
All right, let's real quick. OKC, Utah. On paper, it doesn't look fair. In reality, Utah is up 3-1. Smooth, I start with you first on this.
The Utah Jazz, they're the more fundamentally sound team. They get better shots, more efficient shots. And Rudy Gobert has completely changed everything that Russell Westbrook does. He loves to get to the cup, the rim, but, you know, he's settling for mid-range shots.
Right.
And D. Will hit it on head earlier. He took things too personal against Ricky Rubio. I mean, like to use the old phrasing, the old saying, we know Ricky Rubio can't hold his job.
Right.
We know that. But the Thunder, they've reverted to, well, Billy Donovan. That's the guy I wanted to talk
about. Go ahead. Get him. Get him, Jay.
Billy Donovan needs to be on the hot seat. I think he should be out of OKC. He's failed to put a suitable system in place for this team all year. Carmelo Anthony should be coming off the bench. You have two of the, top 10 players in the NBA, and he's failed to get to optimize their talent. He's not getting the best out of Russell Westbrook or Paul George. And I feel like OKC, they continually fall into this trap of, okay, maybe this guy will do it this night. Maybe this guy will do it this night. Maybe Paul George, maybe it's his night. Carmelo or Russell Westbrook, whoever. Billy Donovan, he's not an NBA coach. I'm not sure why he's still there. I'm sure it's part of the reason Kevin Durant left. This is probably the most disappointing team of an NBA, in my opinion.
Wow. Woo! Yeah. Boy, you got a bell on that one.
Yeah.
All right, Han. See if you can get the bell wrong.
I hear you talking about Billy Donovan. and I understand that. You know, he deserves a lot of the, a lot of the credit for being bad. But it's just like having an unruly student in class.
Yeah.
You can tell him to sit down, or I'm going to send you to the office or whatever. Yeah. But when you don't hold that bad student accountable, and you can put all kind of things in place, IEPs for those students, people that know those are plans that you had to put in place for specialty for kids that don't work out in school. If you can't put an IEP in place for Russell Westbrook, it's not going to work because he doesn't follow rules. I am positive that Billy Donovan didn't tell him you need to shut down
Rubio.
That's not the game plan. The game plan is to allow him to shoot threes because that's not his game. The person you need to stop is Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Somebody need to stop before the game and say, look, man, I know you're talking about him, but number 45, that guy right there, that's the one you need to look for.
Yeah.
So you can say all you want about coaching, but if a coach, I'm sure he puts plans in place. But if he's not going to follow it, there's nothing that coach can do. Because everybody in the organization is scared to say something to Russ.
And it's a problem because it even happens in everybody who talks about Russ. Oh, yeah, he did. But he played so hard, and he does it, and he's a triple-double. And that don't mean jack. They're not winning nothing. And they're not going to win. And I said this at the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year when we talked about it. I didn't have faith in this team because the way they're put together. Russell Westbrook does not play well with others. He gets a U in conduct. He does not use his teammates effectively. All these empty rebounds that he gets because everybody else is blocking out seven-footers and then allowing him to go run in and get the rebound or getting an empty assist that really don't mean nothing because when the game's on the line, he's going to shoot it and not continue to play the way he's supposed to play. All this stuff don't mean nothing.
What about
you keep hearing all about it, defending him?
What about he fired his own man to get his 16th rebound?
Exactly.
Wow.
He coming old people back. Melo even said it in an interview 2-3 weeks ago. Yeah, he's padding the stats. But, you know, they try to always pamper Russell. Instead of, look, Russ, you got to play within the system.
Would Roberson have helped this situation?
Anybody that can't shoot or won't shoot is going to help because that gives Russ free reign to do what he want to do.
Well, he could have been taking Rubio.
It doesn't matter about that. It's about he doesn't need star players around him.
Right.
He needs a system the same way Philly had with Allen Iverson.
Right.
You need marginal players that are going to play defense, and they say – that guy is going to do whatever he want to do. It doesn't matter. But we're going to have faith in it. You can't put stars around it. KD's already trolled him and said what it is. He can't win like that.
So let me ask you this. Russell Westbrook is a liability, and he's essentially handicapped his organization for the next 5-6 years. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's moving forward.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what he has already done. James Harden he played with.
Yep.
Ibaka he played with. KD he has played with. Oladipo he has played with. Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, even though Carmelo Anthony is,
But what Russ got is street cred.
Should, one more question.
You got that?
Should OKC have been the Golden State Warriors right now?
Plays into my other point, Harris. Been what he's touching on what I told you earlier.
No, what'd you say?
He said
they should have been the Golden State Warriors. OKC.
Yeah.
But see, this is why nobody likes Golden State because they didn't pay dues.
Yeah.
They didn't lose to get better. They just all of a sudden broke on the scene and they've been winning championships.
Yeah.
And that's a jealousy issue that Bulls paid dues, Detroit paid dues, Lakers and Shaq and Kobe paid dues. They lost before they won. Golden State really didn't lose. Once they got their act together, what did they do?
They won. All right, Jay, go ahead.
I think that's a little short-sighted with Golden State because they were bad for a really long time.
No, I'm talking about when their team got together. When Steph, Clay, Draymond got together.
They drafted those guys.
Exactly. That's proving my point. I'm not saying they built a team wrong or anything. But they didn't have to go through 2 or 3 years of losing in the conference finals and then win their title. See, when they won their first title, this was supposed to be Cleveland's dynasty. Think about it.
Right.
You had LeBron should have – this was when LeBron should have won.
Or the Clippers.
The Clippers in the West, for sure. But they bypassed the Clippers.
Yeah.
Remember, look at the Clippers team. They had built that team with Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan and – Blake Griffin.
Well, and in that case, you have to give, even though no one wants to, you have to give Steve Kerr credit.
I'm not knocking their credit. I'm talking about the NBA because look at the MVP.
He says still give Steve Kerr credit.
Yeah, I do. But look at the MVP situation now. I hear nothing talking about how soft the league is. All I hear is James Harden is a great basketball player. Russell Westbrook had two triple-double years. I still haven't heard that the league is soft. Steph wins MVP, and the league is watered down and soft. I can't understand that. LeBron goes to the final 7 straight years. I have yet to hear them, and when they talk about that, say the league is soft. They'll say the East is weak. I give them that. But I hear nothing of negativity. Look at Draymond. Draymond wouldn't even be a starter. Chris Webber said he wouldn't be a starter on the team. Now, it was taken out of context a little bit. But still, he wouldn't be a starter on teams if he had to score, if he wasn't on this team.
Hold on. Let me give out our call number. Somebody want to call. 404-603-8770. 404-603-8770. That's for my main man, Danny Thomas. He asked for the call number, so
please call.
Go ahead and give us a shout.
I told him I wanted to add about the OKC go ahead. Utah series. I think it's more that Utah has gotten into OKC's head, because OKC is clearly a more talented team on paper, but Utah has gotten into their head. Like, Joe Ingles is bothering Paul George.
Jingles.
Joe Ingles.
Jingles.
They call him Jingling Joe in Utah, I think. Yep. Also.
Exactly.
You know, enough to where Mitt Romney is able to, like, talk trash at the game as well.
In the Rodney Hood jersey.
In the Rodney Hood jersey.
Yeah.
Wow.
The former Celtics fan, I guess former Celtics fan because he was a governor of Massachusetts, but anyway, Jay Crowder is being an instigator.
Right.
And it's bothering, and then with Rubio's performance bothered Westbrook enough to where you think that these guys, Paul George and Russell Westbrook, would have had enough experience in the league to where this doesn't bother you, or if you use it, it's more constructively than what you've seen. And I think Utah has just gotten in their head, and it's thrown everything off.
All right, man, we got to take we got the call. Yeah, we was going to take a quick 1 minute break, but look like my main man said he wanted to call in and get something off his chest.
Get it off his chest.
All right, we're going to hold tight. We got my main man, Dana, on the phone. Dana, what's going on? Welcome to the SRT crew.
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
You know, I was just calling in about the NBA situation. I was listening to you guys going back and forth about Russell Westbrook and the Thunder. But you guys forgot the main problem in the series with the Jazz. You have Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, and Paul George on the same team, but they've only scored 9 points in the last 2 4 quarters.
We absolutely agree.
We can talk about defense all you want to, but when you're paying three guys almost $85 million combined and they score 9 points, Westbrook had 2 in game 3 and George had 7 in game 4. Melo hasn't scored a fourth quarter basket since game 1.
Yeah, Melo done. He's done.
Hey, you make a great point, Danny.
And so at the same time, when you talk about Russell Westbrook's teammates, remember, James Harden did not want to take less money to stay.
Right.
That's one.
And they
so
and they and
Westbrook
and
for running Harden out of town.
No, and they chose
Ibaka.
They chose Ibaka over
James.
Ibaka was ran out of town because Ibaka was traded to Orlando.
No, before that, though, they paid
the GM
Ibaka
tried to save his job.
No, they paid Ibaka. They made a choice.
Yeah,
they made a choice before that.
But Ibaka, as soon as Ibaka got the check, like 95% of guys who are over 6'10", they forget that basketball still exists, and they become three-point shooters.
Yeah, well, that may be so, but still, the organization made a choice to send Harding away rather than send Ibaka away. They had to make a choice on both of those guys. It was either
or. So you keep a guy who's your sixth man, but trade away your best interior defensive player. That doesn't make sense.
Well
that's what they did.
They couldn't afford to keep both of them.
Exactly. Yeah, they couldn't. They couldn't, but go ahead with your point, though, Dan.
On top of the Oladipo thing, because I'm down in Orlando, I cover the Magic, so I've been around Victor from day one since he's been in the league through OKC. Victor was a completely different player in Orlando.
Right.
He spent a year with Russ, learned how Russ became a star,
right,
then was traded.
We said that last week.
Anybody Russell Westbrook's been around
right
has influenced him in certain ways.
Yeah.
Yes, they've gotten better since he's left.
They get to
since
shoot.
They've left. But you can't put this all on Westbrook. You put it on Donovan, but as far as the series goes, you blame the big three. You don't blame Donovan for this because Donovan does not take shots. And two, losing Andre Roberson was bigger than anybody ever expected.
But what's the common denominator? May I ask you that? What's the common denominator of all these things? Who's the constant with them? You change coaches. You change players. You've done everything else. You got rid of a top two player. in Kevin Durant. He left because of this. What's the common denominator?
It's roster turnover.
But it's turning.
Can you name how many players since Durant left the roster? How many guys have been on this roster consistently since Kevin Durant walked out the door 3 years ago?
Maybe two: Steven Adams, Collison.
Thank you. And how many of those guys play a major role?
But what does it have to do with this, the person that's still there and they're still doing the same thing?
It's called continuity. If you watch the basketball,
believe me,
I watch games.
But I do know one thing that is prevalent in life. When you got a problem with everybody, everywhere you go, it's not everybody else. It has to be yourself. You need to look in the mirror. So it's a common denominator is Russell Westbrook.
When you ask any teammate of Russell Westbrook's on how he is, they speak the world of Russell Westbrook. And I've talked to every player on the Thunder.
And let me ask you this.
For the last three years,
Paul
none
George
of them have said anything
there?
Bad about him. They all love playing with him.
Is Paul George going to stay there after this year when they lose?
It's hard to turn away. It's hard to turn away home, even if
now you make this
the
excuse,
Lakers.
Bro.
It's hard. It's hard to turn away your hometown, especially if you get bounced to the playoffs.
Okay.
Well,
when Magic Johnson comes calling, and you're given the marquee of Los Angeles, knowing that Magic Johnson is probably going to try to pull Kawhi Leonard from San Antonio by throwing Brandon Ingram in front of the Spurs in one of those draft picks, that's the common denominator.
Okay.
All right, Danny, we appreciate your input,
appreciate
man. We
got
to take a real quick break, real quick. Hang tight with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You listen to SRT Radio.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on The Real, 1100 AM.
Tune your radio.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune into this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
What up, though? What up, though? It's your boy, Tate's Take. Of course, none other than Deshaun Tate. I go by the Sports Debate Slayer and the Bracket Master. Hey, SRT, man. It gets no realer than this right here at The Real 1100 AM. My boy, D. Will, the coach, G. Money, H.O., Hancock. Make sure you stay right here. Locked in, The Real 1100 AM, SRT, keeping it real funky.
Some people always want the truth.
I want the truth!
So you have to ask yourself one question. Can you handle it? We don't think so.
You can't handle the truth!
We're back. Sports Roundtable. On the backside of the hour, about to set this thing down. H.O. Sports Superhero Hancock. Six man Jay Smoove, and of course my main man, G Money behind the glass. Want to thank Danny for calling in, man, expressing the passion. We really appreciate that. The passion is what we really truly love. And hey, get some off your chest. Call in. Give us your point of view. Hey, we welcome to listen. We don't always have to agree, but we definitely will give you a shot to express yourself. But now we're in a segment called You Can't Handle the Truth. And this segment is sponsored by Big Boy Cigars. This stogie, put a stogie on it, and it's sponsored by Big Boy Cigars because that's probably what I'm going to go do after I leave the show tonight. All right, so You Can't Handle the Truth, and I had one set up, but after I got to the studio and heard this story, it just kind of jumped ship. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my You Can't Handle the Truth is I don't care how much you want to support and say I support LaVar Ball in his endeavor to be this consummate, get his kids to the Lakers ideology, but in reality, He is killing his kid's career. Every time, and matter of fact, maybe he don't trust the process.
No, I don't think he does.
Every time you don't get your way, you just pack up and take your ball home. What are you teaching your kids? There's nothing wrong with supporting your kids and you wanting the best for them and things of that nature. But how do you pull your kids out of high school and take them out the country? And that didn't work out. So I'm going to pull them out of the – what are you going to do now? The kids have no stability at all. At all. So my – you can't handle the truth. That's the truth about LeVar Ball. Anybody else got? Yeah, G, get your song.
All right. So the truth that I feel like it's something that's been going on for years and years, and this is with NFL GMs. The traditional pocket passer is dead. Just like current R&B. I think it's dead. If a quarterback can be mobile, because offensive linemen are not coached the way that they should be, right, to where you could have a running back and give him the ball 25 times. But now you can't do that because you don't have linemen coached the way that they need to be. The focus is on quarterbacks and receivers and maybe running backs learning how to catch the ball. So a quarterback has to be a little bit different. And sometimes that quarterback is going to look a little bit different.
That's true.
And it happens every year. There's always that one black quarterback that in college, very productive, very good, may have even won a big award or two. But coming to the NFL, there's always knocks on him as far as how he throws the ball, how big his arms are, how strong his arm actually is, how tall he actually is, even though he may actually be tall enough. But there's always something to knock a black quarterback if he is someone who uses his legs to make plays. But these other quarterbacks, they use their legs to make plays as well, and no one says anything about them.
Mm.
I think GMs need to realize that the pocket, trying to turn someone into a pocket passer is a dead concept.
All right.
Couldn't echo that anymore, G. That's what I say. When you draft a quarterback for what he does in college, you need to let him play the way he played to catch your eye. I agree with you.
I agree. Awesome. Real quick. We had set up a most slept on NFL player in history. And real quick, I'm going to go through mine. Mine is Curtis Martin.
Dude.
Fourth in rushing in NFL history. 90 touchdowns, 14,000 yards. And just an all-around underrated player. And he gave it his all each and every time he got on the field, was an injury prone and things of that nature, and he also dated Lisa Ray.
that's a good one.
Ah! That's a good one. I don't have any stats on this guy because you did tell me, you said right, you had this on here. But this guy played for the Patriots, Kevin Falk, was a player that didn't get a lot of acclaim, didn't get a lot of notoriety or whatever, not a lot of awards, no Pro Bowls and all that. But I promise you, on third down and whatever, if you didn't locate him in the backfield, the chains was going to move.
There it is.
Kevin Falk.
Yes, sir.
Steve McNair.
My man.
Guy who, you know, he's no longer with us. But Steve McNair was the guy who actually won an MVP. I think it was co-MVP with Peyton Manning. But guy who was underrated consistently every year, held down Houston Oilers and the Tennessee Titans for years, and one of my favorite players. So rest in peace, Steve, and my most underrated player.
Wasn't he a runner up to the Heisman Trophy?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Either second or third.
Second, third out of a out of a HBCU.
Yeah,
that says it all right there.
Alcorn.
Yep. Out in G's words, he just looked different.
Yeah.
He just looked different, and you know, thank God that Houston took a chance on him. You know, and things of that nature, because he went to Alcorn because everybody else wanted to make him a defensive back. And quiet as kept, that's one of the reasons I did not pursue football and went into the basketball arena, because I didn't want to get caught up into that trying to be a defensive back or safety and things of that nature. So that's how it is, and it's unfortunate that black quarterbacks have to even endure changing positions when leadership says it all. If you're playing a sport, you're playing to win. I'm not playing to get stats. I'm playing to win the game. And just like D-Will said, Tebow might not have had the skill, but he won it, and at all costs, he made winning plays. So he has a playoff win, and I can name some quarterbacks that are making $20 million a year.
Matt Stafford.
ain't won the playoff game. All right, we're about to get ready to get out of here. Shout out to the Facebook onlookers. Thanks for tuning in. Shout out to the tenants. Shout out to the crew. Shout out to D-Will for calling in. Shout out to Daniel for calling in. We hope you continue to listen to us, man, and rock with us and things of that nature. And listen, it's been a great show, man. Don't forget, draft is tomorrow. Your favorite team, let's get it. The NFL draft is tomorrow, so get the chicken wings and all that kind of stuff, and let's get it going, because I'm going to be on that stogie when I be watching the draft. All right.
Just shout out to the tenants. Appreciate y'all riding with us every week. Shout out to my aunt, Carolyn Heron, Houston, Texas. Happy birthday, sweetheart. I love you.
H-Town.
Shout out to the tenants, of course, the entire crew, HM3 Hancock, G, D-Will, Mr. Bra. Hopefully we'll see you soon, and that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Shout out to my mom and dad, all the tenants who listen in, Dez, Marty, Stacy, Mr. Controversy, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
You already know. Hey, before we get up out of here, man, got to give thanks to God for allowing us to do this platform each and every week. He has provided us a great situation, and we're going to continue to ride this wave until SRT just ride out, baby. So you already know how we do it. If you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the hottest show going today. Ham, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
you can't handle the truth.
And we out. Peace. We'll be right back.